We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
And good morning, everybody. Good to have you with us. A weekending edition in this first week of the new year shows on Sports Daily. Shane and Bruce to get you going here through the weekend. And to tie up the week that's gone by, Shockers losing last night at Memphis, Shane, and really just pretty simple. Too many turnovers leading to simple and easy baskets. 33 shots from three-point range when you're not hitting. Mm-hmm. Free throw line discrepancy.
Yep.
Just a lot of things that made this a relatively easy win for Memphis.
Yeah, and it was their pace, like we kind of warned people yesterday. They are a top 10 team in the country as far as pace is concerned. It scored 90-plus points, I think, in each of the last five games or something like that. Shockers held them under that, but it was a predictable outcome. And even though Jaime Echenique played, he didn't play that much, 18 minutes, 8 points. Was okay while he was out there. Isaiah Poor-Bear Chandler was okay. He got 12 points and 5 rebounds in 21 minutes.
Yeah.
But Samaje Haynes-Jones took 17 shots to get his 15 points. It just wasn't enough help around McDuffie, who had 19 points, had an okay floor game. There's a couple guys that we can talk about here in a second that makes me wonder if the Shockers are getting enough out of them. But it's just a case here, Bruce, of seeing how the other half lives. I mean, Wichita State beat people's butts on the road for the last 10 years. And there just isn't enough experience, moxie, swagger, whatever you want to call it, that Shockers have coming back to go into a pretty riled up FedEx Forum. There are 15,000 people there. It was the American opener for Memphis and Penny Hardaway. Alex Lomax showed out last night in his 25 minutes. Had an unbelievably good stat line. We can talk about him here in a second, too. But that's just how it's going to be. And I'm not breaking any new ground here for Wichita State fans. This is just how it's going to be. There's going to be some ups and downs. We're going to scratch our heads at the end of practically every game. We're going to have some bright spots that will lead us to think, wait till next year, or I can't wait till next year, or the next couple of years. And we're going to have some moments where it's like, hey, man, maybe we've turned a corner here.
But steep learning curve.
Yeah, it is.
And you saw it last night. 33 triples, nobody really attacking the rim, trying to get to the rim for a higher percentage of shot. And more importantly, getting to the free throw line. They got to the free throw line 6 times, and while some conspiracy theorist will look at the discrepancy at the line, well, it's simply because Wichita State wasn't giving officials much of a chance to blow a whistle. Mm-hmm. They were settling for deep looks from a part of the floor, Shane, where they're not that good.
No, they're not.
They're not that good. This is not even a good 3-point shooting basketball team. It's really not a good shooting team, although they shot well in the second half last night.
Yeah.
This is not a particularly – and so I'm not going to go as far as to say it's questionable IQ, but you got to know what your strengths are and how to play to them and accentuate them. And you're right. Memphis dictated tempo last night, and Wichita State didn't probably do enough to counter that kind of tempo.
And they've done
they weren't going to win a game in the 80s.
They did it against ORU, for example. Mm-hmm. ORU saw a blueprint and said, we're going to zone the Shockers. And you know, ORU is not as good as Memphis. But, you know, it's easy to settle for threes. It's easy.
It's so easy.
It's easy to shoot a three. And that's what Memphis was you know, allowing half of their shots, Wichita State's, were from three, 33 of them, and only six free throws, as you alluded to. But they also got beat on the boards. They had 14 turnovers, and that led to 29 Memphis fast break points.
Yeah.
There's your tempo right
there. Easy baskets.
Easy ones.
What Greg has called in years gone by, and probably is referring to it a little bit more this year, is atomic bombs.
Mm-hmm.
Just turnovers where basically you don't even have to finish the play. You just put 2 points up because they're going to be easy baskets the other way. And so, you know, from that standpoint, there's a lot of things that we just piled up against Wichita State, and yet here they are still relatively – were they relatively competitive? I guess that's probably how I would describe it, relatively competitive. And
well, the third, there was
there's hope for this team.
It was 20-20,
right,
with less than 6 minutes left in the first half. And I don't know if that started a 13-0 run, but it was in the midst of a 13-0 run. They were led, and then they trailed by 12 at half. They got it to, by my count, five at least. They hit their first three shots of the second half. So, competitive factor, sure. Yeah, they kept it close, but when at one point it's 21-2 bad guys from the free throw line, you know, that's tough to overcome.
It is.
Like you and I said, if you don't have Landry Shamet shooting threes, if you don't have Connor Francamp shooting threes, you don't have Austin Reeves shooting threes, got to find it somewhere else. Got to do it some other way. And I know McDuffie's good at shooting three-pointers statistically this year, but he's better in other ways, and not just, you know, he's better when he's aggressive and crashing the boards and things like that. Samaje Haynes-Jones made 3 out of 12 last night from distance. He had 15 points, but took him 17 shots to get it. Shockers just don't have enough firepower right now to play like they did last year and to beat a team the way Wichita State played last year. 869-1240, if you want to talk about it. Memphis 85, Wichita State 74. They'll come back home to play Temple on Sunday back at the Roundhouse. Jason is first in on the KFH hotline. Hello, Jason. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Happy Friday. Hey, you know, some things I'm just going to touch on what I saw last night. And it's kind of what Bruce said. I mean, we need to learn how to drive to the basket more. You know, to me, I saw a lot of shots where they could have took inside, but instead they kicked it out. You know, drive to the basket, get the foul. And the zone defense, we have to learn how to play against the zone defense. That's our biggest frustration
now.
Right
now, we've done it before, though. That's what I said. We've done it against ORU and others before, so it's in there. But when you're on the road and communication's at a little bit of a premium and it's easy to shoot a three, you settle for them. And, you know, it's not like they don't know the formula because – There have been a couple of home games that I remember distinctly that the other team was like, all right, we're going zone, and if you're going to beat us, you're either going to hit threes or you're going to do what Ricky Torres, for example, did against ORU. Probe that thing, go into the mid lane, and shoot a pull-up jumper, which is his calling card. He was only 1 out of 4 last night. You know,
One more question.
It comes and goes, Jason. It comes and goes. It's in there, though.
Well, you got to take the good with the bad. One more question.
Yep.
Midgard, what is up with him? Is he not doing what Marshall wants him to do? Is that why he's not getting enough playing time?
I think it's pretty obvious. 1 minute.
Yep.
You do what you're supposed to. You do what you're asked. Do what you're told. At an efficient level, you play. Midgard had 1 minute last night.
And thank you for the call. You know, Shane, and people understandably say, why is it so hard for a team to understand these things? I mean, here we are, we're just ripping them off right off the top of our heads, but we have the benefit of hindsight. In the course of a game, it's so fluid, and 40 minutes goes basically like the snap of a finger.
Mm-hmm.
That you get caught up in the pace of the game, and even when you have specific instructions, it's, you just talked about it, it's a hell of a lot easier stopping and popping from 20 feet than it is to work your offense inside out, side to side, whatever the case may be, working the clock, which, by the way, helps you in your pacing against Memphis, who wants to play fast and wants to speed you up. It's easy to get that way. And how do most kids play these days? They play up and down, right?
Yep.
They play with tempo. So it takes it. And when I say use terms like a steep learning curve, that's what I'm talking about. I mean, when these guys get into film today, and Greg is pointing this out, it will be, these guys will get it. They'll understand it. But when you're in the moment, and the pace is enticing because everyone likes to play that way, and you know, and these guys all think that they can bury three-pointers. But you're right. It's I don't want to say lazy, but it's just far too easy to fall back on that and think you're going to nail three-point shots.
It's easy. It's easy.
You got to work. You got to work for your offense, and you got to understand, okay, what are we trying to accomplish here? If we go deeper in the shot clock, we're making them work harder defensively, thus potentially less energy on the offensive
and
end.
Potentially lead to more fouls,
yep.
More trips to the free throw line. You're in the bonus quicker.
Lots of things that you can do that benefit you in that regard. But when you're coming down and taking shots quickly and you're not rebounding, and you're not getting to the line, you're not stressing them defensively at all. In fact, I'm with you. Their basic defense against the Shockers was let them take the three.
Mm-hmm. I didn't think those guys to shoot threes.
I don't think that Memphis was. I don't think they were closing out with great ferocity. I mean, they were basically willing to give them their shots to set up the break, and they got lots of opportunities on long rebounds off the break, and it was just one of those games, you know. One of those learning games. It's you got to get better from it, and that will be the task as they sit down and start watching film today, because they've got a tough task coming up against Temple on Sunday.
Yep. Grant's up next. Hey, Grant.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Happy Friday.
Hey, good. Same to you.
Hey, very good. So, listen, I love the Shockers, and I love Greg Marshall, but I have never probably sat at on my couch and screamed so hard at the television as I did last night. The biggest takeaway I had from that game was Davenport had three fouls with about 18 minutes left to go in the second half. Mm-hmm. If we had just had one of our guys drive on him and get him into four fouls, he shredded us in the second half. We would have had him out of the game, and I think it would have been a completely different experience.
Yeah, that's a good point. And normally Jamarius Burton is the guy to do that. He's pretty fearless most of the time and is able to get to the basket.
Well, any of our big guys, you know, we could have had Ichinike in there, try and move on him and tempt him into a fourth foul. Any of the big guys, even poor Bear Chandler was having a great game last night. He could have done that as well, but we didn't have any of that. And honestly, I think that's a coaching issue, because that directive should have been given at one of the media timeouts, you know, the under 16 or something of that nature. Get him a fourth foul, get him off the floor.
All right, thank you, Grant. Have a good weekend. Thanks for the call, and thanks for listening. Alex Lomax, former Shocker commit and current.
He'd look good in the colors, wouldn't he?
He piled up some good numbers last night. And I went back and forth on whether, and that was an easy topic on social media last night. Boy, it would have been nice to have Alex Lomax on the team. 8 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 turnover. My counter was, or would be, and was, Ricky Torres had 8 assists and no turnovers last night. And
in 23 minutes. I thought he looked fairly good.
Yeah, he's basically and it's not apples to apples, but he's the Alex Lomax replacement. 8 assists, no turnovers from your point guard. The question is, though, and it's been a question from almost day one, and maybe this is what these guys are, I don't know, but Ricky Torres and Jamarius Burton, what they're giving Wichita State, is that enough? Is that what Greg Marshall wants them to give Wichita State? And that's just to be a floor general and don't turn it over. They combined for 10 assists and 2 turnovers last night, but also only combined for 8 points between them.
It wouldn't be as bad if they had scorers around them, but how many scorers do they really have on that
team
right
now? They have one.
That's it. You wouldn't notice it as much if you had 3 guys or so that were able to shoot it and produce numbers. They just don't have that right now. Samaje Hinds-Jones is kind of is a little bit hit and miss, more hit than miss, but still a little bit more hit and miss. Really, Marcus McDuffie is the one guy you know is going to go and get you points. Other than that, Shane, what does Greg Marshall know that he's going to have from one night to the next? Tell me.
I know.
Eric Stevenson
took one shot last night.
Right.
Dexter Dennis came back and was effective, had 12 points and 5 rebounds and 4 out of 8 from the floor. That was nice.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like whack-a-mole. You know, whose head's going to pop
up? A little bit.
Whose head's going
to
pop up?
That's a great way to describe it. Yeah. You never know.
Now, let's compare the numbers here in this Lomax versus who we have debate. Lomax is averaging 6.6 points, 4.6 rebounds, and a little over 3 assists. And his assist to turnover ratio is nothing to write home about, 45 to 32.
Yeah.
Jamarius Burton, 31 to 21 assists to turnover. Ricky Torres is by far the best of the three, 42 to 19 assists to turnovers, and 8 to none last night. But he only scores 3 points a game. And Torres and Burton basically are the same as Lomax when it comes to shooting threes. That's not their game. Ricky Torres has 2 made three-pointers, and that's one more than Jamarius Burton and one more than Alex Lomax. So that's not their deal. Their deal is running the floor and running the team.
How much better would Torres look right now if he had guys that could hit three-point shots? I mean, his numbers.
They'd be better.
They'd be better.
But he's still, when he shoots, you hold your breath. Shooting 36%.
He does. And you want to see him being even more aggressive, especially attacking his own. And because we've seen him.
And he's good at
that.
We've
seen him.
If he can.
Yes.
That pull-up elbow jumper, the zone, that's the zone buster. That's the
sure
killer.
It is.
That's the one that draws people to you. Is that 17-footer, that 15-footer? I don't expect him to go all Allen Iverson and get all the way to the rim and live at the free throw line. That's just not him yet. But
nope.
You got to make yourself a little bit more of a threat. And I just wonder what Greg Marshall thinks of the output so far through 13 games of Burton and Torres, his two.
You've asked an absolutely fair question, and it can be applied pretty evenly throughout the entire roster, save Marcus McDuffie. Echenique to a lesser extent than maybe others, but that's kind of where you are right now with this team. I mean, and Eric Stevenson's a really good example. I, first of all, let me just say, I have no doubt that this guy's going to be a tremendous player in this program. Tremendous player in this program. And, but he disappears for extended periods of time. And then there are times when he can be one of the 2 or 3 best players on the floor. Then it's, absent without, he's AWOL.
Mm-hmm.
Fouls
kind of got him last night a little bit.
They did.
He had 4.
They did,
in 11
absolutely.
Minutes. But he also had 3 assists and 2 block shots in 11 minutes. So to your point, he doesn't necessarily have to score to help Wichita State. And I think he realizes that, which makes him different than a lot of freshmen. He doesn't get bogged down in his numbers and his points. But his shooting percentage is mind-boggling. He's a better shooter than 31%, but I guess you are what your stats say you are. I mean, he's shooting 26% from 3 and 31% from the floor. The difference with him is just crazy, and that's Charles Cocorina versus everywhere else.
Oh, my gosh.
Shoots lights out on campus, but you know, can't throw it in the ocean elsewhere.
And that's just a confidence. That's a – you got to do it a few times and realize that, you know, that it's – that the basket's still 15 feet, that the floor's still 94 or whatever, 96 feet, whatever it is. I mean, it's kind of the old Hoosiers thing when they go into the arena, isn't it? You know, get me the tape measure. It's you just got to have a little success, and once you do that, then you know you should be able to flip the script a little bit. But they got a whole bunch of guys like that, Shane.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just don't think that this is that surprising. And like I said, they had a lot of boxes that they weren't able to check last night, but they are still talented enough to kind of be on the fringes of that game.
It's a dangerous little thing get into to play just well enough to lose, though. You know?
Exactly.
It's hard to do the things necessary to go into another guy's barn and take the win from him. It's not that hard to play within 11 points of somebody when you got talent like they do. But you can't be settling for 33 threes. You got to be able to get to the foul line. You got to win the rebounding battle. And you can't be giving away turnovers that lead to 20 points. Points off turnovers.
No.
20. Points in the paint. 44 for the bad guys. Second chance point. 10-6, bad guys. Fast break, 29-9. That can't happen, especially on the road. And there are just not that many people on that team that realize it outside of the coaching staff because they've been kicking people's butts on the road for 10 years or more. All right, What's on Tap is brought to you by Side Pockets at the corner of Kellogg and Tyler. You can have your choice of quarter-pound hamburger or cheeseburger with fries today for just $5.95 or a specialty burger with fries for $6.50. Coming up next, we'll have some general college hoops talk with Kyle Boone, CBSSports.com, a college basketball insider here on the show. We'll talk to him about Zion Williamson, Nevada, and others. We'll have a Twitter question, has nothing to do with sports. And top second hour, we'll preview the Chargers and the Ravens. Wild card weekend is here. Plus, NFL Hall of Fame finalists have been announced, and our State Farm picks are coming up in the second hour as well. Sports Daily with Shane and Bruce.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.